Hello, everyone. I do this show for fun, to entertain people. And a lot of work goes into it, more than you might imagine. But I enjoy all of it, and I try to keep it light and fun. But after the massacre last night in Las Vegas, I just can't get to the place to entertain you. And so to record the kind of show I usually do, I'd have to fake it. And faking isn't for me. And you'd all know I was faking, so what would be the point? Along with entertainment, I sometimes try to impart some truth. Part of the show's slogan is, "Truth lives here." And the truth is, we're all just sad. I found out about it last night. Surfed around the channels trying to see if one of them had a handle on it. They didn't. And they won't. Not today, or tomorrow, or ever, because no one can ever get a handle on evil. What is evil? You can't feel it, or see it, or smell it, only its results are tangible. As of this moment, they're reporting 58 dead and over 500 injured. Think about that. Casualties of that magnitude would have qualified it as a significant battle in either world war. It's mind-boggling. It really is a small world, and the whole concept of 6 or even fewer degrees of separation hits me in the face so often I have to believe it's true. So I'm wondering if, as this nightmare to daymare to week and monthmare continues to emanate from Las Vegas, if I or you will find some connection to a victim. All sadness, all of it, is triggered by the same thing, loss. When we're kids, the loss of little things makes us cry, a toy, a trinket, or other trifles. As we age, bigger losses sadden us, loss of a job, an opportunity, a romance, and the only one that is irreplaceable and truly shatters us, a loved one. You don't have to be a mathematician to extrapolate the number of lives splintered by 58 untimely, violent deaths. Every one of them is somebody's son or daughter. Many will also be brothers or sisters, husbands, wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, mothers, and fathers. The ripple effect is infinite. Sooner or later, we will lose someone we love. Since I just don't have the capacity right now to entertain, maybe I can make your time with me worthwhile by offering something else, a story that might help if you've lost someone. It's a two-part story. The first part is about loss. The second part addresses the puzzle the nation wrestles with, how to ensure this might never happen again. When my younger daughter was about 2 or 3, she got her hands on a big red balloon. It was egg-shaped and at least half her size. She carried it around all day, thrilled by its helium lift. I tied the string to her wrist so she wouldn't lose it. All day long, this balloon was her companion, her muse. That evening, we decided to go out to a Chinese joint we liked. As I parked the car, I told my daughter she should leave the balloon in the car, as it would be tough to eat with it on her arm, and it might annoy other customers. She was okay with that, so I untied it from her wrist. Somehow, in exiting the car, the balloon got away from her and quickly ascended into the sky. She burst into tears as she watched it climb to the clouds. I grabbed her and held on to her, but she was inconsolable. I told her I would get her another balloon, identical or even better, but I don't think she heard my words. Her cries of grief drowned them out. It was an overcast evening, and as I knelt by her and held her, I put my cheek alongside hers, and mine was quickly soaked by her tears. Together we watched that balloon get smaller and smaller until it disappeared into the haze. Once no longer visible, her grief intensified. She sobbed and shuddered. I wanted to tell her the balloon was still there and that she just couldn't see it, but that concept was a bit advanced for a toddler. There was nothing I could do but hold her and wait. I sat on the rocker panel and held her on my lap. Other people came and went, car doors opening and shutting around us. Some didn't see us, some did, and smiled. Those were parents or grandparents and had been where I was. An evening breeze kicked up, carrying the scent of Chinese food with it. I searched around in the map pockets, looking for a Kleenex or napkins to wipe her face, which glistened with grief. By that time in my life, I had already lost quite a few loved ones, including both my parents. And there, sitting on that rocker panel with my baby girl on my lap, I had my own little epiphany. If you believe in God, if you believe that some higher power has set this sphere and the billions like it into motion with incalculable inhabitants, with incalculable losses, and even more incalculable tears we will collectively shed, maybe a toddler and a red balloon can give us an enhanced perspective and understanding. My little daughter could not comprehend what I so easily did, that her balloon had simply moved beyond the power of her shiny, blue, tear-filled eyes. It was still there and moving up in the clouds. There's a very, very narrow gap in intelligence between the smartest and most experienced adult and any toddler. Compare our severely narrow and limited perceptions and earthbound perspective to those of whomever or whatever created all this and all of us. We're all mere toddlers with imperfect vision made even more imperfect when blurred by tears. The second part of this story is courtesy of Hollywood. And if we could only live its simple truth, there would never be another massacre in Las Vegas or anywhere. It's from an old movie called Lost Horizon, directed by Frank Capra. It's about a plane crash in the Himalayas. The survivors are rescued by strange people and brought to their hidden tropical valley, unknown to the rest of the world. That valley is called Shangri-La, and there, crime, hunger, violence, even illness are unknown. The people lead peaceful, happy lives for hundreds of years. Shangri-La is led by an ancient wise man, and one evening he reveals the secret that makes Shangri-La a paradise. They live by no laws, but only one brief commandment. The Torah has 613 commandments. Moses relayed 10. Jesus further reduced those to 2. But incredibly, a Hollywood movie managed to further distill the same message to only 2 words. Much of the world's suffering would end if we could live those 2 words that made Shangri-La a paradise. Be kind. Thanks for hanging with me again, everyone. I'll see you next Tuesday. God bless us all. Thank you.